Hello and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guest today, former Hebron Mayor Mike McFarland and current Mayor Valerie. See, I'm trying to get your name right, Mayor. Valerie Mokas, she is joining us today as they've got a big issue up on the November ballot, and we'll talk about that here in a second. Beautiful skies today, mostly sunny. Going to be a high right around 54. Tonight, patchy frost. I believe they're going to issue another freeze warning tonight, so keep that in mind. And then Thursday, another sunny skies as well. And we were joking, Mike, that, you know, you had the Hebron Pie Festival not too long ago, and my wife and I were down there. You had the best job of all. You were the judge, one of the judges. It doesn't get any better than that.
Oh, I did, and it was a lot of fun. I was very privileged to be able to do that, and I was just telling you a story that I had a great time. I got to have a taste of 16 different pies, I think it was. And when I got home that afternoon after the pie fest and so forth, my wife says, well, what would you like for dinner? I kind of fell over and just said, are you kidding me? I just ate 16 different pies.
Nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
Well, I did think about going down and getting a fishtail sandwich down at the dairy bar.
There's the tell right there.
See, that's why he's the man that he is. You know, eat all those pies and like, hey, let me go get a fishtail sandwich. Mayor, Mokas, let's talk a little bit about that event. I mean, I know you're, the new mayor, so to speak, over there, and I know you said fifth generation, but that's just one of those great things about a, I don't want to say small, but a neat community that you can do something like that, have it in the downtown area, and just have a ball with that. It was a lot of fun.
It's okay to call us small. We are a small town, and we're totally into being a small town. Mm-hmm. It's part of our identity, and it's certainly one of the things that we want to keep in our identity as all the changes are happening in Licking County. Mm-hmm. But that event was fantastic, and a large part of that, thank you for speaking about it on air and also for supporting it. Every smiling face is exactly why we have that event. And actually, he's not going to say it, but I will. It was actually Mike's idea to do a pie festival in the village. Mm-hmm. I organized the first one. I helped out with the second one and the third one. I handed the reins off to a very capable team. Mm-hmm. So, and you spoke with Brittany. She did an amazing job. It was probably 50 times better than the two that I was helping out with. But yeah, we'd really like to lean into that more. And pie festivals, when we talked about it, it's really so focused on kind of Americana, right? Like it's just down home, real simple, bring your whole family, hang out, have some pie, listen to some music. It's exactly the type of feel that we want in our village.
And how hard is that as a mayor? I mean, we all know about, you know, what's happening. I mean, just right around from you guys, you know, you're talking about Microsoft and all these different things. You got Intel. How hard is it, though, to be able to just, you know, grow with everything but still keep that kind of hometown feeling?
So, wow, I'm just going to put this out there. I feel like somebody running through their house, grabbing the things that you can carry in your arms, not because of a fire, but because it's lava. It's small. I mean, it's huge and inevitable. So it's coming, and we have to prepare for it. We only get to save a few things. I think the things that I think our residents really want to save as a small town feel. I think things that they want to save are things like our identity. I think we have a very hardworking community, and we want to keep that feel. When I talk to my neighbors, nobody's interested in living next to a gazillionaire, right? Like we want to have neighbors that we talk to, we wave at. If somebody's sick, you take them soup, that kind of feel. I'm not great at that. If I did that, I might poison somebody. But
well, and they can move next to us because we're not gazillionaires right now.
So I'm not trying to say that we don't want certain people. I'm trying to say we want folks who are going to be part of that community. Everybody I know in Hebron, they know that their neighbors are there for them. Now, I'm not saying we don't have our little turf wars and we don't like that somebody used that color because that's my color and my, you know, flower design or whatever. Or I wouldn't have chosen those plants. That's how we are. And that's who we've been for a really long time. And so I think protecting that and contributing more to that is the type of folk that we would really, I think, embrace in our community.
It's got to be hard, though, because it's not like Hebron's landlocked. I mean, you know, you've got
some influence on the borders, but I mean, as it grows, I mean, is there plans to annex, or is it just for, this is our footprint, we're going to keep our footprint, and whatever grows up around us grows up around us?
That is such a great question. Thank you for asking it. So I just want to give a big shout out to all of those who participated in Framework. Framework, I'm sure you've heard plenty about it. Framework was an opportunity that was led by Sarah Wallace's team, and they brought us into a room. And when I say us, I'm talking about leadership from each of the jurisdictions that are anticipated to be most impacted by Intel. And they did a tremendous amount of emotional labor, because we don't have, we all have our little fiefdoms, right? And we don't have a lot of great discipline of working together and forcing us to work through challenging issues. Instead, we'd just rather bicker and walk away from the table. So all that to say, trying to figure out how to define who we are. We don't have to annex. That's not written in a law anywhere. And we don't have to grow our footprint unless we want to. And that property owner wants to become part of the village. It's not predestined. So when I was talking about the inevitability of the lava, we don't have to say, sure, we'll take over, you know, another 700 acres. We don't have to do that. We don't have to annex and let it be built into another, you know, 700 homes. That's not inevitable. And I'm mentioning that because I'm really hoping my residents in Hebron are listening to this and hearing what I'm saying, so they will become involved. We can't make these decisions by ourselves. Yes, they elected me, and they elected seven council members, and or six council members, and so there are seven of us to do this type of work. But it's sure easier when residents come to our meetings and talk with us and participate with us and help us, because we are definitely going to be revisiting our code. We're going to be talking about what we do want our community to look like. And if we have their voices behind us, it makes us a much more unstoppable team than if it's just the gut feeling of seven individuals.
You know, Mike, you hear Mayor Mokas talk about that. And I know tonight, and we'll get into it right now, is you have a levy. The village has a levy. Not you. The village has a levy on for police forces. And tonight is a perfect opportunity to get out and voice your opinion. Maybe talk a little bit about what's going to be happening this evening so folks understand.
Yeah, the council has and the mayor have, have made a real effort and continuing effort to be transparent with the community and to get the information out on what's going on. And as the mayor said, the more people who come to our meetings and things, the more informed they are. We're not different than any other community in that, you know, sometimes disinformation gets out there for whatever reason. And we recognize there are people on both sides of every issue, and particularly when it comes to a levy for police or for any other service. And we feel like it is the time to ask the voters to support the police with an increase in the taxes somewhat. The police provide an enormous service for us there in Hebron, and we get to do a lot of things. The police get to do a lot of things that you won't find in larger communities. For example, patrolling the streets, having the time to stop and talk to the neighbors on the streets, getting to know people, getting to know what's there in the neighborhoods, and what shouldn't be there. A comfort level for parents when they send that child out the front door to go walk somewhere or go walk to the neighbor, that the police are coming through on a regular basis. In larger communities, the police are stretched off and pretty thin, and they don't have the time to do that. They go from call to call to call. In our community, the police are very much a part of the community, and they create a sense of belonging. They create a sense of safety in the community, and we're very proud of that. Our police are also enormously well-trained. Admittedly, sometimes we are the training ground for some larger communities, you know, and it's difficult to compete with the larger communities. But the people that we have there sometimes go to the larger communities and decide they want to come back to Hebron because of the community that we have. So we're very proud of our police department. And I think it was, help me out, Mayor, I think it was 1981, 83, when the last levy was passed. So, yes, I think it's a good time for people to consider. We also recognize that this is a difficult time financially for folks. And there are a lot of issues out there that are deserving. And we don't want to detract from any of those. But, we think it's time to take a look at how we're funding the police and allow them to have a budget that they can count on. Mm-hmm.
Can I just lean into something that Mike just shared? So in 1981, when we passed our last police levy, so it's been 43 years. In that year, gas had gone up 111%. A new car was 86% more expensive. The country was in the middle of a recession and inflation was 10.3%. Right now, inflation is arguably 2 to 3%. Folks feel like they've had a really, really rough year. They have had a really rough year. And so I think it's really challenging as a new mayor to just say, yep, it's been really terrible. I'm going to ask you to do something else. And I'm not asking them to, I'm not going to ask anybody to vote yes. I'm going to ask them to vote and I'm going to ask them to say what they think. And if they'll tell me why, that will also help me understand, is there wiggle room if for some reason the levy doesn't pass? Is there something we could do differently that would make the difference for you? But when this levy passed in 1981, a brand new car was about $7,000. Now a new police car is $47,000 plus $17,000 just to outfit the vehicle. And the salaries for police officers have gone up almost three times what they once were or what they were in 1981. So yeah, it's been a really, really long time since we've asked for any type of support specifically for the police. And I don't know of any household that could run on their 1981 budget.
So tonight, real quick, before we take a break, when is the meeting and where is it if folks want to come out?
Thank you. It's at 6 p.m. tonight and it will be at the Municipal Complex. It's 934 West Main Street, Hebron, Ohio.
And folks can come out and get the questions answered or just, as the mayor said, kind of voice their opinions. We'll jump into more of this property tax levy issue that you're going to see on the ballot. You're listening to Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode. On your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guests today are Hebron Mayor Valerie Mokas and former Mayor Mike McFarland talking about the police levy that folks will see on the November. Folks are already seeing it now with early voting on the ballot. Mostly sunny skies today, high near 54, a little bit of frost and clouds tonight, low near 30, and then for Thursday, sunny skies and a high near 61. And again, tonight at 6 o'clock, if folks want to get out to a town hall information session about the police levy, Mayor, maybe again now tell us what folks are seeing on the ballot, what the actual issue is, and how they need to be prepared for that.
Thank you. So it is a fire, or I'm sorry. Wow, that was really bad. There's no edit on this, is there?
You're good. You're fine.
Thank you. So there will be a police levy specifically for Hebron. So it's only for residents in the village of Hebron. It's a 5-mil levy, and it is a replacement levy. What that means is it is replacing the old 5-mil levy, which effectively is worth about 1.5 mils. And so, in 43 years, the value of those 5 mils has gone down quite a bit. And so we're asking folks to update it just to what it was originally, a 5 mil value in the community.
And, you know, folks will hear all these numbers. Do you have like the dollar? Because that's always the bottom line for folks. What's this going to cost me? What is this going to be when I hit my pocketbook for this issue?
Thank you. So I did a little homework. And according to Zillow, you know, Zillow, it's on the internet, so it must be right. According to Zillow, the average home in Hebron is worth about a little over $300,000. And according to a similar home on the auditor website, that would cost about $442, which is different than what they're currently experiencing for that type of home. So the increase they would experience is about $373 a year. Mm-hmm. However, something that council worked with the residents last year to do was to pass energy aggregation. And so we actually, and thank goodness, I do have to say, Commissioner Bubb came out and spoke with our council and explained about energy aggregation and what that could be doing for our residents. And based off of the statistics for what an average Ohio household uses in electricity, they're probably actually saving almost $700 a year starting this year, actually starting this summer. And so technically, if you, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. So technically, if we were to put these two up against each other, residents would still be ahead about $320 between the ask for more on the police side and the offer of paying less on the electric side. So I hope that residents will take that into consideration. I know they've had other things go up in price, but we have to be able to support them with police.
So when you talk about the police force, I know you're currently operating one down, mm-hmm. but if the levy passes, does it just maintain the force or does it move the force forward?
Thanks for asking that too. This is a really hard question. It's an argument even in my household. We've talked a lot about it. The fact is, Hebron residents, by not paying more for police, we are effectively using half of our income tax every year to fund the police. And so not only are we using all of the police levy, we're also using half of the income tax that comes in, which means as a mayor, when somebody telephones me and says, golly, we really ought to have barriers along that ditch so nobody drives off the road and gets injured, or golly, you know, my road hasn't been paved in 15 years. There's a reason that is true. It's because we are turning around and spending this money out of general fund directly into police. And I think that police and fire, I don't think anybody in my community thinks that's not important. We all know that that's important. And so I think that each mayor before me has said, well, I guess we just need to put more into police out of general fund. But I don't think the residents realize that's why we don't spend a lot of money on flood mitigation, which is a really big deal in Hebron. And that's why we don't spend more money paving, and we don't have a routine where we're going through every street and repaving every 7 to 10 years. We don't have that kind of funding, and it's because we haven't passed a police levy in a really long time, and we're not asking the residents to participate in choosing these priorities more proactively.
Gotcha. How much would it raise?
It would raise over 600,000. It's probably in the high 600,000s. So if you can imagine what we would be able to do with that on the flip side, going back to flooding, boy, if you were to come into my office at the municipal complex, you would see it probably looks like a fifth grade kind of cut and paste project, literally with pictures on my wall of just different areas that if we could find the funding to be able to move some of that water so it's not going through the heart of the village and it's not harming so many residents in the village, it would be a really big material difference for our entire community. You haven't had a rough day until you talk to somebody who lost, you know, a lot of their personal belongings in flooding. And it's terrifying. In the middle of the event, you don't know if you're going to get out. You may recall we've had to have boats mm-hmm. come and rescue people from their homes in the village. So I think whatever we can do to avoid that, but that's not something you just flip overnight. That's going to take us years of planning, which quite a bit of planning has been done, and we've worked very closely with team members from Soil and Water in the county. When Mike was mayor, he started the conversation with the Army Corps of Engineers. I mean, there's a lot of prep work that's been done. We actually have a Army Corps of Engineer official report on what we could be doing to mitigate, and now we're talking with a wider group of folks to see how much would it cost for us to implement some of these solutions. And a lot of these can be funded at least partially federally or even statewide, but we have to have our match. Mm-hmm. And so without that match, we're just not a feasible player in that. And so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get us to the point where we can fund these really important flooding and paving and parks and all the other things that we say we want, but we've got to actually make the funding available.
Mm-hmm. And again, I want folks to understand, you talk about that $600,000, that's not going into the general fund, that's for police, but that impacts the general fund because now you have that money that you didn't have to be able to spend on those kind of issues.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like you'd be getting a little more into your household income. Like you have maybe a teenager who now goes and gets a job and so they can pay for their own car insurance or they can pay for their own cell phone. That means that that money that you were using to fund that teenager, you can now use to, I don't know, finally upgrade your bed so you can get a decent night's sleep. So those are the types of things that we're thinking about.
And Mike, you've been in the community for so long. I mean, when you did you know that it, I'm sure you did know, but even that's got to be shocking to you to think 1981 and you've got all these other levies that have passed that it hasn't had anything for police. That still has to be shocking. I mean, I can't imagine having a police department that you hadn't funded since 1981. I mean, that's just a long time ago.
That is a long time. And I think that speaks to the leadership of the village over the years to manage and to make the commitment to the safety of the community by funding the police through the general fund. But unfortunately, while that was, you know, you make decisions based on what you have in front of you that day as leadership of the village. And one of the things that, you know, the previous administrations have decided, and I think rightfully so, is that we continued to support our police and support, through that, support the residents of Hebron. We live on the east side of a major metropolitan area called Columbus and all of its surrounds. And you can turn on the news any night and think that, and realize some of the things that are going on there. And if you think that those kinds of issues that the police handle stop at the edge of Hebron, you might want to think about that again. And so we are here with a police department that is constantly vigilant, constantly watching the streets, watching our children, and answering calls. Oftentimes we're supporting communities around us. But, and we live right beside Interstate 70. That is a major area for all kinds of things going on, passing back and forth across the country. So, but I think our previous administrations did the right thing as we began to grow. Now that we are in a position where we are actually beginning to grow more with homes and more people traversing our area, it's important that we maintain the safety for our residents. We're seeing a lot of people moving through the area, coming to the area, we need to be vigilant about the safety, particularly for the children in the area, and particularly we have to protect the seniors, and we have a lot of them. We have a lot of seniors that need to feel safe in their homes. And we watch that all the time. So, yeah, it's time, I think, that we shift the burden from the general fund so that, as Valerie said, we can address so many other issues that need to be addressed in our community to improve the quality of life for everyone. And we need to maintain a police force there that is enormously important to our community.
And Mayor, before we let you get out of here, I want folks to understand tonight, I mean, I'm sure the two of you will be at this meeting, but I was impressed because you're bringing in other folks. You're bringing in the auditor's department. You're bringing in folks who can answer some of these questions more specific. Because, again, we all know, well, you know, you guys have been talking about this. But, you know, if you hear it from other folks, at least they'll feel better about the information they get because they understand where you're coming from. But I think that's a great piece to this is the folks you're having out there.
Yeah. And so we're having both Mike Smith and Brad Cottrell, but we're also having Kevin Miller, who is a former trooper. And so I feel like he's able to give a little more insight into what that looks like being out on the road and how important it is to feel like you've got backup and you're not an island into yourself trying to protect yourself in these really stressful situations. The other thing I want to say, if you don't mind, is just that in Hebron, in the last 24 years, not since 1981, but just since 2000, we've been asked to pay for 18 different fire EMS levies. We've been asked for 21 levies, 21 times we've been asked by Lakewood. We've been asked by the JVS, or now CTEC, 7 times. There have been so many. There have actually been 76 different asks to our residents since 2000 for levies. And we're asking for one for our police. So I just want folks to keep that in mind. I know it feels like a lot. I know it's a stressful year, but I feel like it's the right thing to ask because I really do need to know, is this a priority? And if you want things to change, I need the money to change it.
And then finally, again, if you want to throw out tonight's meeting, where it's at and how folks can get the information.
Thank you so much. 6 p.m. tonight, Wednesday. And if you could pop down to the municipal complex at 934 West Main, we would love to see you.
And how long do you anticipate you guys will be there? Is it just how many folks come in? You'll hang around for... I'm sure you'll hang around till midnight.
I am there to hear whatever they want to say. That is one thing that I think everyone who's met me understands. I want to know what they think so I can try to be helpful.
No, I appreciate, Mike, you reaching out. And Mayor Mokas, I appreciate you coming in today. We'll do this more. Hopefully we'll do it when we're not having to talk about levy issues, just more things that are happening in Hebron, because I know it's a great place. It's growing, as you mentioned, and there's a lot happening, so folks need to know. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're going to have a Christmas market. We're going to have a Halloween bash. We're really trying to get our community out of their homes and hang out with each other. That's really what we want to do.
You had me on Christmas market. Well, not so much about the Halloween thing, but you had me on Christmas. Now, if there's pies at the Halloween thing, as in pumpkin pies, I make them out for that. Look at McFarland. He's already leaning in. He's like, yeah, right? I got a pumpkin pie for you. What are you doing?
I was just going to tell you, you know, you were saying you're not so enthused about the Halloween. Does that mean that you're going to be going through the kids' candy at home? And one for me and one for you?
The wife made a mistake. She already bought candy, and I yelled at her, but I also got into it the other day. Yeah, that's how it all starts. And I do want to say to Mike, you turned me onto the fry pie. I'd never had one before until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
And that's – actually, I was hoping you'd bring us some today, Mike, but that's all right. That's okay. No problem.
Well, you never know. I might drop by for one.